for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2015 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, Tuesday afternoon, December the 29th, 2015. Carla Butard is the speaker of the afternoon, teaching on arrested development.
Okay, well, let's pray. Well, Father, we thank you for another opportunity to come and to share your word and your goodness and your mighty, awesome, miracle-working power. That's what I'm looking for today, Father, for those that are in need of the message that's coming forth and those that are listening on the Internet. I just pray that everyone who hears this word will receive the miracle that is in it. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to talk about arrested development. There's been a lot. I got a request from somebody in London wanting help with arrested development. I have talked about arrested development, but never really taught on arrested development. It's always been bits and pieces in other teachings. But there is so much in the world today, one in particular being autism. Meryl mentioned it. And I heard a statistic that it used to be like one in 7,000 births. Today, it is 1 in 52. 1 in 52 births. And I even heard somebody else predict that by the year, let's see, this is 20, maybe by the year 2030, that almost every child will have it. Now, I believe there are different things that are attributing to this. Well, let me just go ahead and get into the things that I have here, and then along the way, I will share some more of that. First of all, I'm going to look at the words arrested and development. Arrest means to obstruct, to stop, to check or hinder motion, to seize and fix. Arrested is to be seized, apprehended, stopped, hindered, and restrained. The word development is the advancement toward completion or perfection. So if you put those two together, you could say that the advancement toward completion or perfection for some reason was obstructed, hindered, apprehended, and restrained. Now, I have, we have a child in our family that has autism. Although it's, they say it like a high-functioning autism. In helping me understand kind of what does that mean exactly, and it also kind of bleeds over and is akin to, is it Asperger's? Okay. We had a guest in our home one Thanksgiving, and her son had Asperger's, and he was wild. I mean, it's just, and you look at the children, of course, I look back on my three children. Wade was very active. My first one was very active. I mean, even in the womb, I had had back surgery. I had to have my back fixed. I had scoliosis. Now, my brother, who was a Methodist minister, when I found out I had to have surgery, and I was the biggest baby. I had so much fear in my life. It was unbelievable. I was afraid of, I had so many phobias. Thank you, Jesus, that I am free from all of that, because fear is a torment, an absolute torment. Well, anyway, I had a fear of needles and shocks And when this doctor told me that I was going to have my back fixed before I could get pregnant, which was all I ever wanted to do was get married and have babies. That was my lifelong dream, was to get married and have babies. And I got married, and then I went to the doctor when I was ready for us to get pregnant, and he said, "You can't carry a baby with your back like this. Don't you even think about it till you see an orthopedic surgeon." Well, I just almost went into shock. No, it was just total denial. No. I'll just put the baby on the back burner for a while. And so my brother called me, and he was a new minister. He had I got saved because he got saved. He got saved, and he got born again, and I saw something in him that I knew I didn't have. I didn't know many people that did have what he had, the presence of Jesus. And so I got saved. So he calls me. I wasn't saved yet. I got saved through the process of this surgery. And he said, "You know, when are you going to have your surgery?" And I said, I was on the phone with him, "Well, I'm not." He said, "What do you mean you're not?" I said, "David, they are talking about rearranging my bones. I mean, I'm going to be in a body cast for a year. Not to mention, I'm going to have shots and surgery and swallow pills. I couldn't even swallow a pill." My mother would, when I was little, she would dissolve an aspirin because I had asthma when I was born. That's fear. That's a manifestation of fear, asthma. I was born with it. It also runs with the Masons, and my papa was a Mason. And so there are infirmities that are attached to the Masonic Lodge. And I'm just going to go ahead and say this, and if you want to jot these down, because along the way I'm going to be mentioning other teachings that you might want to look into. And Randy Ritchie did a teaching here on the Masonic Lodge and all the ways that it can affect you. Awesome, awesome, thorough teaching. If you need to look into that, get it. You can go to lhbconline.com. It's a different website than Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. Don't try to find it there. I mean, I think you can purchase it there, but they also have another website called lhbconline.com, and it's a wonderful resource. I send people there all the time because if I'm praying for somebody and they have a particular spirit, I don't have 2 hours nor the memory to share with you every single thing that's broken down in the teaching. And then there are prayers at the end that you can participate with and receive deliverance from whatever it is you listen to. So if you have asthma, COPD, and there are allergies, there are many things that are involved, infirmities that travel with the Masonic Association. Those oaths and covenants will be broken in that teaching. So I encourage you, if you have ancestors that were in the Masonic Lodge, get that teaching and let it minister to you. I believe autism is also one that, learning disabilities, speech impediments, there are all kinds of things attached to that Masonic Lodge. So if you need to hear that, get it. Okay, so I had the surgery. My brother told me, "You know, Jesus can take your fear." And I was like, I'm glad I was on the phone because I went, you know, he didn't have the fear I had, because you don't overcome fear. You got to have it cast out. It's an evil spirit. And so, I mean, you might can fake it, but I was on an elevator one time that got stuck, and I went absolutely berserk because I had claustrophobia. And a bunch of kids said, "Hey, let's see what happens when we jump up and down." And I went, clunk, clunk. And I was like, oh. And one time I was on an elevator. My friends still talk about this. I was in high school, and a whole bunch of people were getting on, and then a whole bunch of more people were getting on, and I thought it was going to be overloaded. And I mean, from the back of the elevator, I got long legs. I stuck my foot out to keep that door from shutting. And I, you know, listen, you know, it says that Jesus made an open shame of the demons. I am tired of demons making an open shame out of me. So if you have something that causes you just to be absolutely berserk at times, get that thing cast out while you're here. But the fear that I had was paramount. So when I got off of the phone with my brother, this was my first, like, real prayer. Well, the first real prayer was, Lord, my brother's got something I don't have. Now, I always believed in God. I always prayed. But, you know, it was like, is he there? Does he hear me? And I believed in him, but had never had a real personal encounter of any kind that proved to me that he was there. So my brother said, I said, Lord, my brother told me that you could take this fear from me. Now, I don't see how that's possible. How's that for a faith-filled prayer? I don't see how that's possible, but if it is, I need you to, because I need to have this surgery in order to have a baby. Well, so over the course of about 4 months, that prayer evolved. I got from being fearful of having it to thinking about, and Lord, when I do have it, I don't want to be a big baby. I want to be a good patient. I want to be brave. I don't want to give them trouble. Like when they walk in with a needle, the dentist used to, I could hear a clank, clank, clank over here. I'm going, I'm just an idiot. It was a real fear. I did all but jump up and run. Anyway, I woke up one morning and the fear was totally gone. Gone. And in its place was this excitement that I can't explain. It was like I was fixing to take a marvelous vacation, and I was excited about it. Now, when I was free from my fear, I saw my husband's fear, my mother's fear, my daddy's fear. Everybody had this huge, because it was like they knew what I was going to go through, but they really didn't know what I was going to go through. But whatever, it was going to be a serious thing. And even in the surgery, after surgery, I hemorrhaged and almost died. It was a terrible, terrible experience. But I'd rather be the one going through it than the one having to watch it. You know, my poor husband, it was just terrible for him. But anyway, this fear, why did I start telling y'all about that surgery? Fear, the spirit of fear. Okay, so I had that tremendous fear. This fear is in my family. It was generationally inherited. My daddy had that fear. My brother has that fear. His daughter, the mother of the little girl with autism, has that fear. And when I began, I wasn't that close with my niece because of the divorce. She was here and there, and so I didn't get to spend a whole lot of time with her, but when I started learning about demons, I told my sister-in-law, who is my niece's stepmother now, and I said, you know what? That is a demon. That fear that she has is a demon. And she goes, oh gosh, don't tell her she has a demon. She would just, you know, she would, oh my goodness, that would scare her to death. Well, of course. But so what? So we just let people walk around with demons and paralyzed with fear and stuff? Well, I have had a talk with my niece about it, but when the little girl is, we were going to the beach to spend some time. I had my granddaughter, who is a little bit 2 years older than my niece's little girl that has autism, and they were saying, well, you know, she doesn't sleep very well, and she wakes up really, really early, and this and that and the other. And I said, you know what, I'm going to go in and pray for her. So I said prayers with the children before they went to bed. And I spoke to that thing. And you spirit that wakes her up in the middle of the night, you spirit that wakes her up early in the morning when, you know, if she really should still be asleep, I just bind you in the name of Jesus. I call the angels in here to stand around her and protect her and deal with her fears. You know, it was a simple prayer, but I stuck some powerful things in there. And you know, she slept till about 10 o'clock that morning. Her mother could not believe it. But see, prayer works. And you can bind those spirits in children. Like, I've shared this before, but my little daughter, when she was 5, I was in a depression when I was pregnant with her. And she would cry. Now, I had been healed when she was 6 months old. I was healed of depression. Okay, so now she's five. I'm taking her to school, and she was melancholy. You know, she just, that bubbly little, like little child, you don't see, but she was melancholy, and she was weepy, and she had fear, and she had separation anxiety and all these things. And so I was listening to a radio program, a Christian radio program, and there were these two men talking, and he was talking about how spirit can be transferred from the mother to the child in the womb. And that caught my ear, because I felt helpless to help my little daughter, who would cry. What's the matter, baby? Did something happen at school? You know, she just never knew why she was crying. So as a mother, that makes you feel helpless, because you want to comfort your child. So I had begun to ask the Lord, what is this that is making her this way? What can I do for her? So here's this radio program. And so one of the guys said, well, now, what should a mother do if this has happened with her? They were talking to him. He said, well, let's say a woman is depressed during her pregnancy. Oh, that would be me. God is so awesome. So what should she do? Okay, well, you go to the child's bedroom after they go to sleep. They don't have to be involved in this. So you have authority over the demons. It's that we wrestle not with flesh and blood. It's a demon. And so you go to the bedroom, and very quietly at the door, look at your child asleep, and you start speaking to that spirit. You spirit of oppression, depression, and whatever else you see in the child that is happening, you address it and command it. You command it to get out in the name of Jesus. Well, I've never heard anything like that before, but I've read it in the Bible how Jesus had cast out demons. So I went to her bedroom door, and I said, you spirit that came into her when I was pregnant with her, when I was depressed, when I was weepy, when I was sad, when I cried all the time, I'm speaking to that spirit, and I command you to get out of my daughter in Jesus' name. You will not live in her and torment her the way I was tormented. She woke up the next day, went to school, no weeping, no crying, and never did it again. And I thought, wow, that is powerful. See, it doesn't have to be a big ordeal. And you don't have to be a deliverance minister to do it. If you have Jesus in you, you have no authority, but Jesus in you has all the authority. And he's given us his permission to use that. And we need to start doing it. Let me tell you, when things start hitting the fan, when demons start manifesting right in the middle of a meeting or a school classroom or the grocery store or the mall or wherever you are, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. That's our weapon right there. I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. So that's what I did with my daughter. And that was gone from her, okay, as a child. Okay, so there are causes that could be causing this autism, and not only autism, any kind of arrested development in the mind. It could be trauma in the womb. That's what happened with my daughter. I was depressed. I cried all the time. Sometimes I would sob so hard, I would be afraid I was going to go into premature labor. You know, when that thing takes you over, it's not just a sniffle. I would sob from my toes, that grief and anguish. It was horrible. And I was pregnant with her. You know, don't think that when you're carrying, when we were being carried in our mother's wombs, when we carry babies in our wombs, that they don't know what's going on. Those babies have a spirit, and spirits are very sensitive. Hyper-hearing, hyper-sensitive. They know when mommy is upset. They know when mommy is frightened. They know when mommy is sick. They know. They know when she is fighting, because they can sense the mother's feelings, the tones of voices, even from outside. If you're just in a violent situation, those babies know. I ministered to a little boy here one time, and he told me he was demon possessed. I mean, he had set their house on fire 3 times. He was threatening to murder one of his sisters. He talked to people in the house that they didn't see. There, just something was going on with this little boy. And he told me that, the Lord had revealed to me he had an ancient spirit. Well, I was going to pray and address that ancient spirit. And he came in and sat right there in that chair while we were praying. And when it was over with, he said, I rustled his hair when I walked by, and I said, how are you today? And he said, well, actually, he was very, you know, very articulate. He expounded on things that there was no way a 9-year-old could have the knowledge that he had. It was weird. And so I was just looking at him, and I heard God say, he has an ancient spirit. First of all, he said, just observe. Just observe. So I watched him. So I wanted an opportunity to pray with him, and he came in and sat down, and I passed him up and rustled his hair. I said, how are you today? And he said, well, actually, I've been waiting for you. And I said, really? Backed up and sat down in the chair next to him. And we had a little talk. He talked about some television shows that he watched that he felt that he probably should not be watching. And he was a real smart kid, because demons are smart.
Right.
So I was going to pray for him, and I said, I am speaking to the ancient spirit. And he said, you want to know what his name is? I said, yes. I said, okay. He said, his name is Bob. And I said, okay. Then I am speaking to Bob. And he said, you want to know how he got there? And listen, I don't ask people what the name of their demon is. You know, I don't say, who are you? How did you get there? How long have you been there? Why are you there? I don't do all that. But if they're going to offer some information, even though they're liars, sometimes they tell the truth. So he told me, you want to know how I got there? I said, okay. He said, my mommy was playing with a Ouija board, and Bob came out of the Ouija board and got into me. And I thought, whoa, that's interesting. So I went to the mother, and I said, well, I heard something interesting today, and what is it? And so I told her, and she nearly fainted. I actually had to catch her by the arms, and she just went white. And I said, what is it? And she said, I was pregnant. He has no knowledge of that. You see? Oh, yeah. They have knowledge. Babies in the womb have knowledge of what's going on around them with mommy and in the house. They know because they have a spirit. We are first spirit, then flesh. Okay, so I thought that was really interesting. We did pray for him, and I pray that he got the deliverance that he needed. We haven't seen him again. I haven't heard from them anymore, but I've often wondered how that little boy is doing. Okay, so it can happen with trauma in the womb. If a child is not wanted, let's say a mother has 4, 5, 6 kids, or let's just say she only wanted 2 and she's pregnant with the 3rd and decides not to have it or doesn't want it, contemplates, even just the dread of being pregnant can cause arrested development to take place. If abortion is considered, a death spirit comes in. Spirits of murder, anger, rage, all kinds of things can come in. We don't know. They don't travel in one. A spirit does not travel by itself. It's like a pack of dogs. So if a mother doesn't want to have a baby and contemplates abortion, there's the abortion spirit. There's death, the death spirit. Murder spirits, all these spirits come in. So now, if a child is not wanted, that strong rejection can cause arrested development. So It says in Deuteronomy 23:2 that many times when a woman is caught in pregnancy, caught in sin, you know, she's having sex with maybe just one lover or with other lovers, or maybe she's married and has an affair and gets pregnant. This happens. And when they find out, there's tremendous fear attached to that because they know that they're caught. And the tremendous fear that comes into a woman can arrest the development for a while until she resolves and says, okay, well, we're just going to have a baby. Then it picks back up and the baby develops on. I really believe, I don't have anything to prove this, but over the years, I used to go to a fellowship and there was a young man there that had Down syndrome. And when I started learning about spirits, I started asking the Lord, what is that? Why is that? And when you see Down syndrome children, I found it interesting, and I said it out loud one day, and it didn't even really dawn on me what I said until I said it that made me start thinking. You know, because the woman has the baby, and the Down syndrome child has similar features. I said out of my mouth, looks like they all have the same daddy. Whoa. Maybe it's not a daddy. Maybe it's a demon. I'm not saying that a demon had sex with the mother. I'm just saying that back in the day, now there are more Down syndrome children these days than used to be, just like autism. Everything is intensifying and increasing. But the Down syndrome, let's just say, okay, I'll be 62 next month. So a lot of women, when they're going through the change, are irregular in their cycles. So you may have one, skip a couple of months, have one, skip a month, have one, skip a couple of months, you know. So it's a time where if it's not regular, you're not thinking immediately, oh no. So the woman gets pregnant and the baby is growing secretly in the womb, unhindered, in a peaceful environment. And the woman doesn't think anything about missing a cycle because she's menopausal. So another month goes by. The baby is still growing. But in the month when you start having real physical changes, the woman has a terrifying thought. Oh, my gosh. And then she finds out for sure that she is pregnant. And then there is a tremendous change in the environment that the baby is growing in. Now it's like in a pressure cooker, you know, because of the tension of the mother, the fear, the dread, the not wanting to have a baby at that time in her life. And I really believe that when that fear grips that woman, it arrests the development of that fetus. And I believe if we could crawl inside and look at the facial features, the development of the fingers, and everything about them is halted. And then a month later when it's resolved, okay, we're going to have a baby, then the fetus is allowed to begin to grow again. It's accepted. But when they're born, they all have those features. So could it be that it is a form of arrested development? I don't know. But one of these days, I'll have an opportunity to pray for one. Although, one time, right after I had that realization, a lady came here with a girl that had Down syndrome. And I was conflicted because it's kind of scary that you would try to pray like Jesus, the man who had the withered arm. And Jesus said, stretch forth thine arm. And he stretched it forth and it became normal as he stretched it forth. That's what I'm looking for. I am looking for those things to happen because he did it he said we would do the same things that he did. So while I was here, I was kind of nervous that the opportunity might present itself for me to do this arrested development on the child, although I felt like Mom would have to have a part in this. You know, I would have to separate the two of them and say, let me ask you, were you happy when you found out you were pregnant? You need to repent. You know, sometimes admitting it. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth. Who would honestly say, no, I didn't want this baby? Who would honestly say that? No, they lie to themselves and everybody else. Where is the truth in that? And then to, if it could be possible, maybe that's one reason I didn't do it. I didn't approach even the idea of it, because I wasn't quite sure how to, and I know God will at some point instruct me in exactly how to do that, to have the mother. And you know what? I bet at some point those children feel that rejection, like they're just tolerated. Although we all know they're referred to as special and so loving and so sweet, because their brain was arrested at that age where they are just so sweet. Like my little grandson is 3, sweet, precious. I'll help you carry the groceries, Grammy. You know, let me do it. I can do it. You know, that's how they are. They're very childlike forever. Very loving. Just run up and love on you before those fears start manifesting. I don't know. It's just a thought. But I believe that arrested development is involved in that. If the mother has an emotional or a physical upheaval, if there's abuse involved, physical abuse, domestic problems, a difficult delivery, premature babies, you know, that's a real arrested development when they're big enough to hold in your hand right here. And all of the torture that those babies go through. They have cardiac arrest, respiratory arrest. Their eyes are covered up so they, you know, the light doesn't. They got things down their throat, tubes in their stomachs, needles everywhere. Kyle had to go to neonatal intensive care. And he had this bubble, little plastic bubble thing, because they had a needle or something in his head. I can't remember. He didn't go through near what some of these babies go through, but I hated it. Not to mention they took him straight from me and he had to go to another hospital, so I didn't even get to hold him for 3 days. If I knew, see, I was polite to the devil then, because the doctor said, oh no, we can't release you. If I was the woman then that I am today, I would say, you can't keep me from my baby. I'm going. He needs me. That's what I would do today. But I was young and naive, and I was taught to be respectful and obedient. So I obeyed everybody. And that's not a bad thing. But, you know, when it comes to keeping a mother from her baby, that's evil. I'm sorry. Okay, so, and it can be generationally inherited in the form of a familiar spirit that's passed down from one generation to another. Let's say a woman gets pregnant, she's in a car wreck, and she's in a coma the whole time. This happens to people. Let's say something like that happened. There is an arrested development that takes place because the mother is not well. If the baby's born and is sickly, that causes arrested development. There are many things that can cause this, but it could be arrested development in the mother, and then she gets pregnant and has a baby, and the baby has arrested development because it was a spirit that passed down from the mother to the child. So it also could be something that happens all along life's way. You know, babies are given so many shots now. The minute they're born, they're popping them, filling them with different bacteria and stuff. It's for their good, of course. I didn't really know about all this when my grandbabies were born. When my babies were born, though, I can remember being horrified to take my babies for immunizations, because at that time, back in the 80s, it was coming out that people would take their healthy, beautiful babies to the doctor for an immunization, and the next day they were, you know, Well, crib death, yeah, some of them died, but many of them were just, you know, they were just maimed. And I was terrified to take my babies to get shots. I would pray over them. I would pray over, Lord, when we get there, I'm blessing that stuff right now, just like I would bless food that goes in their mouth, you know. That'll be addressed in this prayer that we do. Because many babies are having these shots, and then they end up with autism. That's not a coincidence. All along life's way, perhaps they weren't nurtured. The baby comes, but the mother is aloof, not attentive to the baby, doesn't talk to the baby and love the baby and, you know, really nurture that baby. That can cause, neglect can cause arrested development if they're not shown proper affection. Now, going back, if a child is not wanted or rejected, that curse of the bastard comes on them. If a baby that are illegitimately conceived has the bastard curse, and this runs with the bastard curse, and there are many, many millions of babies born today that are conceived illegitimately. You know, back in the day, if you got pregnant outside of marriage, you got married quickly. Not today. It's a celebrated thing. Babies are illegitimately conceived, and it's not thought of as being unacceptable at all. But they don't know that it's a curse. The babies are born with a curse on them. That can be dealt with. It's not a hopeless situation. But still, it's not being talked about. And if maybe a baby is born to parents that are married already, but the baby is not properly loved or disciplined. And in Hebrews, it says that a child that is not disciplined, says God chastises those whom he loves, but without chastisement, you're not a son, but a bastard. See, discipline equals love to a child. And if they're not disciplined, they don't feel loved. So that curse can come in and arrested development with it. If they're mistreated, if there's abuse there, children who have been molested, children that have been incested can have arrested development. Sexual abuse, traumas, accidents, sickness, events that you just can't get past. It's so awful you just can't get past it because your development is arrested at that time. You can have arrested development if you've used alcohol and drugs. This is sort of whenever another element was added, or it's actually when God showed me what to do about it, because my son, who was 24 years old, was arrested for possession of marijuana. He smoked pot. And when he was, I did not know this, but when he got drunk the first time when he was 14 at somebody's house, I never knew that. So I was asking God, because it was a frustration to me and to my husband, because at this time he was 24. It started when he was 17, in and out of jail, getting arrested, you know, just all this stuff. And I said to the Lord, out of frustration, I was here. Mike called me and said, well, I don't want to put a damper on your meeting, but Kyle's in jail. I said, what for? Possession of marijuana. I said, good grief. You know, so when I got off the phone, I said, Lord, what is the deal? He's not a kid anymore. He's 24, and he's still getting arrested for pot? And God said, but his mental and emotional development was arrested at the age he started smoking, I mean drinking and doing drugs. And I thought, well, that makes sense. Well, what do you do about that? I can't have a 14-year-old man. And so that's when he said, lay your hands on his head and speak to the arrested development. Bind it, cast it out, and then call for a supernatural maturity to come forth. Now, that doesn't sound like a very big deal. And it's not. I prayed for a little boy that he was 7 years old, beautiful child. He was a foster child. He had autism. He couldn't even, this child was so locked up with autism, it was pathetic. I thought he was blind because his eyes just, he had no control over his eyes. And he couldn't speak. And I went to talk to him, and the foster mother was sitting with her back to the child, and I knelt down to talk to the child, and she whipped around and she said, oh, he can't understand what you're saying. He's autistic. This was her foster child. And so she turned back around, and I said, well, I'm still glad that you came today. And she said, well, did you hear me? He can't understand you. I said, well, do you mind if I talk to him anyway? Well, if you want to, go ahead. It so grieved me. You know, here we are at a deliverance conference, and here is this little boy that needs deliverance. So before the last day of the conference, I was getting ready, and the Lord started talking to me about that little boy. He said, that little boy is a prisoner of war. I was like, what? Prisoner of war? And he said, yes, his mother and daddy were in a war, a battle, and they lost. And he was taken prisoner. And the infirmity that he has is his prison. And I thought, oh my, what are we going to do? We've got to do something for this little boy. So I went to the pastor that was hosting the seminar and told him what the Lord had shown me. And this was maybe 10 years ago. And I didn't know then what I know now. I wasn't as bold then as I am now. And I still have a ways to go. I tell my husband, they ain't seen nothing yet. Because it's there, but I guess timidity or a holding back spirit, I don't know. But sometimes I just, there is something in me that just wants to do it. But I haven't really done it like I want to do it, like I feel like God wants us to do it, you know. That's why we don't see the things that we want to see. But, so I went into the meeting. He said, well, it's almost time to start. It was the last day. So I went in there and sat down. It was Sunday morning. And he gets up at the pulpit and announces that God gave Sister Butod a word of knowledge this morning that she shared with me. And I was like, what? I didn't tell him I had a word of knowledge. Is that what that was? I mean, I've been praying for them, but I didn't realize that I've been getting them for a long time, but I just didn't know what they were. You know, thus saith the Lord. It didn't come to me that way. This is God, and I'm saying this because I'm so literal. But anyway, I'm getting better at it. So he said, I'd like for her to come up and share what the Lord told her about the little boy, the children here, because there were three children. So I got up there and I said, well, I told him what the Lord had said, that he was a prisoner of war, that his mom and dad were in a battle and they lost. And the little boy had been taken captive. He's a prisoner of war and his infirmity is his prison. And that's all God told me. He didn't tell me what to do about it. But anyway, he said, now I'd like to give you liberty to do whatever you feel like needs to be done. It was like, lights, camera, action. And I was like, terrified. But anyway, I just said, why don't we come up and pray for him? Does anybody have any oil? Anoint him with oil. I did the prayer that God gave me for my son, the Arrested Development prayer. I spoke to his brain. I commanded the electrical impulses to connect. I called forth his cognitive abilities to be able to speak, for his eyes to be able to focus and see, for his mind to be able to learn and comprehend. And I don't even know what all I prayed, just I prayed what I wanted for him. Pray your desire. Okay, so I didn't see anything happen. I didn't feel anything. But 3 months later, they called and said that he was talking, singing, learning his ABCs. He was in special ed classes at school. He was going to go to regular first grade class. That was a miracle. And I know that God is able, and he wants to. He died, he shed his blood, and by his stripes, with his stripes, we are healed. Healing is available. And it doesn't matter what it is. He doesn't put limits on his healings. Another little boy recently, I did this teaching on Omega Man Radio, and a lady called me. I think she was in Australia. No, she emailed me, told me she had a 3-year-old little boy who had never spoken. He grunted like an animal. He was unable to eat. She was having to puree his food, and he still sucked it out of a baby bottle. And she heard the Arrested Development teaching, and she said, I've been praying that for my son. She said, I'd like for you to pray also. I asked for a picture of her little boy. The picture came, and his eyes were real big and vacant looking. It was spooky. It was like, oh my goodness. Okay, so it wasn't long, I mean just several weeks, and the little boy was saying words and then sentences. He began to eat food because she prayed that Arrested Development prayer on him. And she said, I want you to see him today. She sent a picture. He's very present. He doesn't have that gaunt look. He was holding a bag of potato chips and very, just like a regular little boy. Thrilled my soul. That's what Jesus wants to do for these children that are being afflicted. For whatever reason. Sometimes people say, well, I don't understand where it came from. Who cares? Let's get rid of it. It doesn't matter how it got there. I mean, if we know how it got there, and sometimes sin is why it got there, repent. Yeah. Lead them through a prayer of repentance, and then address the demon. Okay, here's some scriptures about alcohol. Wine is a mocker, strong drink, raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. A mocker is one that mocks, to laugh at, to ridicule, to imitate in contempt. A scorner, a scoffer, a derider. That's someone who makes fun of you at your expense. You ever seen somebody that's drunk? And they just love to laugh at you and at themselves. It says that wine is a mocker, strong drink, raging. Rage is violent anger accompanied with furious words, gestures, or agitation. Anger excited to fury. Passion sometimes rises to rage, usually the state one is in when murder is committed. Many times people will drink before they commit their crimes. There's demons in them drinks. Wine, beer, spirits. Wine, liquor, spirits. There are spirits. And you know what they do? I'll get to that scripture in a minute. Is raging. Ever heard of a mean drunk? Some people are just violent when they get drunk. Mean drunks. And there is a mention of a mean man in the scripture. I instructed a little child that was talking about their parent that drinks and gets mean. And I said, well, guess what? You can bind the mean man. You know, a little child is pretty helpless with a parent. that drinks and gets drunk. But listen, little children are no exception. And I believe God will do it for a child even as much or more maybe than he will for us. I taught my granddaughter very young how to say the name of Jesus. I said, if anybody is ever coming at you and you feel afraid, I want you just to scream as loud as you can, Jesus! I bind you in Jesus' name. I've been teaching her that. She may need it someday. We need it today. Isaiah 2:9, and the mean man bows down and the great man humbleth himself, therefore forgive them not. Isaiah 5:15, and the mean man shall be brought down, and the mighty man shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled. Isaiah 31:8, then shall the Assyrian fall with the sword, not of a mighty man, and the sword not of a mean man shall devour him, but he shall flee from the sword, and his young men shall be discomfited. I didn't know anything about the mean man being in the Bible until I prayed for a woman one day, and she revealed to me when she was a child, she was talking in a child's voice when she was revealing this to me. She said, can I tell you a secret? This is a grown woman. I knew it was a manifestation. Can I tell you a secret? You can tell me anything. The mean man comes to get me and lays me on the bed. I knew exactly what had been going on. I bound the spirit of the mean man. And I broke his power and commanded him to come out of her in the name of Jesus and cut him off of her, severed every cord of control and every unholy, unclean thing and touch. And then I found it in the Bible, so I thought that was really interesting that there is a mean man. And she called it just that. Proverbs 31:1, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. Proverbs 31:2. What, my son, and what, the son of my womb, and what, the son of my vows? Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, not for the kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Lest they drink and get drunk, lest they forget the law and commit lawless acts and pervert the judgment. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. There's a reason for drinking. To remember your misery no more. To forget your misery. Proverbs 23:21, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. That's what alcohol will do, and gluttony. I never knew you could get drunk on food till I heard Jerry teach on drunkenness. You can get drunk on food. That's why when you overeat, you just get so sick. You're drunk on food. That's what alcohol does to you. Drowsiness is sleepiness, sluggishness, sloth, idleness, and inactivity. Drowsy is inclined to sleep, heavy with sleepiness, lethargic, comatose, dull, sluggish, stupid. I tell people, hey, there are stupid spirits in pot. You know, they want to defend it. Oh, it's not addictive. No, but the high is. The high is addictive. That's what you want. But I'll tell you what, there is a stupid spirit connected to it. You smoke it, and you just don't care. Without life or spirit. It's kind of like, you know, yeah, man, you see, whatever. Slow of hearing or seeing, as dull of hearing, dull of seeing, slow to learn or comprehend. There's a learning disability. See, maybe you have alcoholism in your family line and you've got an arrested development because all of those spirits are in it. Slow to learn or comprehend. Sad, melancholy, could be called the deaf and dumb spirit, which is the root of learning disabilities. In Mark chapter 9, Verse 17. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. The son had an affliction that his father recognized as a demon or an evil spirit. Sounded maybe like epilepsy. In fact, in the Bible, they substitute epileptic. Some kind of seizures. Possible that this dumb spirit could be the root to seizures. The deaf and dumb spirit could be the root to epilepsy and other types of seizures.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.